a sufficient property qualification to entitle him to the right of suffrage. He was accustomed to speak to us of his early life, and, although at all times cherishing the warmest emotions of kindness and even of affection towards the family in whose house he had been a bondsman, he nevertheless comprehended the system of slavery and dwelt with sorrow on the degradation of his race. He endeavored to imbue our minds with sentiments of morality and to teach us to place our trust and confidence in him who regards the humblest as well as the highest of his creatures. How often since that time has the recollection of his paternal counsels occurred to me, while lying in a slave hut in the distant and sickly regions of Louisiana, smarting with the undeserved wounds which an inhuman master had inflicted, and longing only for the grave which had covered him to shield me also from the lash of the oppressor. In the churchyard at Sandy Hill, an humble stone marks the spot where he reposes, after having worthily performed the duties appertaining to the lowly sphere wherein God had appointed him to walk. Up to this period, I had been principally engaged with my father in the labors of the farm. The leisure hours allowed me were generally either employed over my books or playing on the violin, an amusement which was the ruling passion of my youth. It has also been the source of consolation since, affording